Queen Elizabeth II was also celebrated in the middle of June, as have many other British monarchs since George II almost 300 years ago. Now, obviously, kings and queens of the United Kingdom are not all born in June. It is the official birthday of the king or the queen of the sovereign. And it's been celebrated like that, middle of June, since 1748, usually the second Saturday. And it's just kind of interesting. We have like Flag Day and other things. I was like, were those meant to be digs against this birthday? I don't know. Somebody who's interested in geeky history stuff and has got time, you should research that and let me know what you find out. But the reason why it was chosen was because it's just better odds for good weather and therefore a better public celebration than celebrating a birthday that maybe happens in November or February in the United Kingdom. And the birthday is a national holiday. It's celebrated internationally as well in the British Commonwealth. Victoria Day in Canada near the end of May is the celebration of the sovereign in Canada. And in London, there's the celebration. There's something called the Trooping of the Colors, where a military parade outside of Buckingham Palace. There are community meals, and there's many public celebrations. And there's publishing of what's called the Honor List, in which orders of chivalry are recognized. So knights and dames are recognized. Other orders of public honor are recognized. Trivia, David Beckham was recognized this year. And if you like Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling was once recognized on the honor list in 2001, 2017. So this celebration is a celebration of the birthday of the king or of the queen, but it is not a self-centered celebration of the sovereign, just exclusively saying, celebrate me, but it is a celebration in a lot of ways of the kingdom itself. Again, not just a celebration of the sovereign, celebrate me, bring all the gifts to me, but the sovereign blessing the nation, and rejoice with me, celebrate with me. And joy is, at its best, communal and contagious. The life of joy overflowing from one person to others. And joy and public celebration is unifying and can be profoundly and just sort of mysteriously healing. I remember 4th of July in 2020, if you might remember that, it was just a little bit more of more than a month following the death of George Floyd, and many weeks of unrest, of rioting, of curfews, and in a way, I don't know if you can really cancel 4th of July, but it was sort of like, stay home, don't go to 4th of July things, we're not going to do fireworks because of the pandemic. And so it was kind of a charged environment with all the things that had happened. And in our neighborhood, just a few blocks north of us, people were ignoring the ban against fireworks. They still ignore the ban against fireworks in my neighborhood. They're going off all the time, and my dog sleeps under the couch and is very distressed by the whole thing. But people were ignoring this ban against fireworks and ignoring this ban against people gathering together. And so our family, we're like, well, let's go check out what's going on. We had our kids, some neighbor kids had invited us to go, you know, a few blocks north to join some celebration. And there was this party in the street. It was a little bit off kilter. It was kind of like, what's going to happen next? are these fireworks? They're not safe anyway. And I was standing there after lots of time being on edge in my neighborhood. And a stranger came and handed me barbecued chicken, and there were fireworks again in the street. And it was sort of a relief of that neighborhood tension. It did help that my neighbor who lives kitty corner and is a St. Paul police officer was standing vigilantly, kind of watching things and watching the celebrations. But it was kind of a relief of tension in the neighborhood. Alexander Schmemann, a priest, an Orthodox priest I really appreciate, says, the main source of everything is my soul rejoices in the Lord. Again, the main source of everything is my soul rejoices in the Lord. The fear of sin does not save from sin. Joy in the Lord saves. And in contrast to this sort of charged environment that did seem to sort of dissipate some of the tension, joy in the Lord is pure and peaceful It's without qualification. It's neither legalistic, so everything is in sort of marching order lines, nor lawless, where everybody does what they wish to do. Rejoicing in the Lord is participation in God's character, saying, rejoice with me, and rejoice with me in the joy of the Holy Spirit as God is making all things new in a creative, beautiful, better way. Over this summer, we are speaking again about the fruit of the Spirit and remembering kind of in the same way how in the Incarnation, the Holy Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary and Christ was conceived in her. And now in the season after Pentecost and Trinitytide, the Holy Spirit descends upon the church and Christ is present in us, which is a very, again, helpful way Father Chris has framed this for us before in our Discovering Redeemer class. Again, the Holy Spirit descends upon the church and Christ is present in us. And so in this season after Pentecost, we want to think on the different fruit of the Spirit today being joy, of how the life of the Trinity overflowing to us and out from us, the fruit of the Spirit is made known in the world and blesses us. Rejoice with me. In today's passage from Luke, Jesus shares a parable of his joy and of God's joy. And this parable, these parables are prompted by the grumbling of Pharisees and Sadducees. And as we heard just a few minutes ago, the Pharisees and Sadducees were grumbling about the company that Jesus kept, about welcoming sinners and tax collectors, and even eating with them. Here, Luke tells us that they were coming near to Jesus as well, these Pharisees and tax collectors, or these Pharisees and Sadducees. They were coming near to Jesus to hear him. And it's not to say that Jesus welcoming sinners and tax collectors was to the exclusion of Pharisees and Sadducees. There's numerous examples in the Gospel of Luke and in others in which Jesus accepts the hospitality of Pharisees. And so we know that he wasn't excluding them and necessarily favoring others for their own benefit. But rather, these two parties are so different in their attention to the law of Moses. There are those who have really gone astray, and there are those who have hewed very, very closely to the law. And so the Sadducees and Pharisees are scandalized that Jesus would show seemingly equal favor to these notorious sinners, just in the way that he might have done to them, accepting their hospitality. And so using metaphors that they can relate to, and I think importantly saying, men think this way, women think this way, Jesus is trying to prompt empathy among his hearers, thinking, how do you think about finding things and rejoicing when things are found? And these stories, these parables, are not principally about empathy with the one who is lost, with the coin or with the lamb, although we can think about those later in the passage. But Jesus begins with empathy with the one who searches, not again saying, men, if you've lost a sheep, wouldn't you rejoice? Or woman, if you have lost a coin, wouldn't you rejoice and do all you could to find it? He's calling his hearers to imagine what it feels like to lose and then find a precious thing. Men and women, can you remember deep loss? And he uses these images of sheep and silver coins, two things of significant value. Can you remember, perhaps, the emotion of a lost thing, of losing something? Maybe lost jewelry and ransacking a suitcase or a jewelry box or turning a room, whole room, upside down for the sake of finding something small. Something that, you know, perhaps is objectively valuable or perhaps something that's just sentimental and you need to find it again. Or, you know, having missing keys or debit or credit card, feeling just so stressed, you can't move forward until you find this thing it's needful. Or if you're a child, this is the sort of visceral thing I was thinking about when I was missing Lego pieces. You know, you're doing something and you're like, oh my goodness, I can't find this green piece that's three pieces long. And it's just the incredible distress, inconsolable until you can find the thing to complete your project. If we've lost one thing, and I think each of us have probably experienced those things where we felt just great distress and something lost, whether it's one thing, whether it's something great, it doesn't really make it any less valuable or irreplaceable if it really has our heart and our attention. we can all probably remember that deep feeling of loss, that visceral distress, and looking for, you know, what will set my heart at rest and peace. Now, remember, because you're here, you have been able to move on from the thing that was lost. I was able to move on from the Lego pieces that were lost. Remember when you found that thing that was so distressing. The relief that's equal parts peace and joy. That what was lost is now found, now you can move forward. The search is over and we are relieved. And there's great joy in lost things being restored and recovered. This is the kind of feeling and memory that Jesus is trying to stir up among the men and the women that were listening to him. Rejoice with me when you this precious thing has been found. Both these parables end with the searcher inviting the community to rejoice with me when what was lost are found. And imagining you have felt that sense of rejoice with me, now can't you, Pharisees, Sadducees, all those who listen, can't you rejoice with me when the sinner and the tax collector is restored to the people of God? Remember the zeal of searching. Remember the joy and the peace of things being restored. Remember the relief of finding. And Jesus inviting his hearers, rejoice with me in the restoration of sinners and in the fullness and the restoration of my people. Don't be people who grumble on the fringes, but rejoice with Jesus in the repentance and restoration of sinners, even if it is just one. The joy of the Lord, similar to this sort of joy of the sovereign and the celebration of the sovereign, isn't a private celebration of Jesus as king, just totally set apart, but rejoicing in what Jesus and God himself rejoices in. Rejoicing in the Lord and his salvation. And rejoicing with members of the same flock who are Jesus' new creation and those whom he has brought back who were astray. It's walking in love with those who have been restored to his family. Not grumbling about our companions and the ways that they are frustrating or they seem, you know, off base, but rejoicing in the Lord that they have been humbled and turned to repentance. And if we judge at all, as it says within the Epistle of Romans, we should humbly discern whether our actions are edifying, whether they're contributing to the peace and the building up of others. Not just are we satisfied in our own celebration and our own relationship, but how might we build one another up in love? Is there fruit of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit in our lives? And where it's an error, where it is more of the flesh, we should humble ourselves and repent and trust that Jesus will welcome us back. Just as he always does. For all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have gone our own way. All we, like lost coins, have been found and the whole house turned upside down for the sake of bringing what's precious back into the fold. We are equally precious in God's sight, and he rejoices over us with great delight when we are restored to him. Each of us has gone our own way, and Jesus, like the Good Shepherd, has sought us and brought us near and carries us upon his shoulders, secure and safe. Therefore, rejoicing the Lord again is not a self-centered celebration of the sovereign, just us and Jesus privately, but a celebration of the kingdom itself and of our brothers and sisters. Joy and peace go hand in hand. Peace with God and peace with one another with whom he has made peace and brought ministry of reconciliation. And so we as people repent of anything that divides according to the flesh and quells or suspends the joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. Church of the Redeemer, I see your joy and I am blessed by it. I'm blessed by the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our midst. I see your eyes and your faces shining, welcoming me, but I see you welcoming one another, welcoming children and teens welcoming adults, the whole body of Christ delighting in each other's presence. I'm blessed by Zeke, who sits usually back there and tries to get the jump on everybody to say alleluia at the very end of a service. I'm blessed by the joy of seeing you respond to Jesus' invitation to rejoice with me, to rejoice with holiness and servanthood and generosity, to rejoice by laying aside your interests for the sake of others, by rejoicing with Jesus, by showing mercy and speaking graciously with one another. I was blessed likewise this week with kids' games, which we had hoped would be 3 days, and due to rain was just one, which fittingly, the theme of kids' games this year was little things, how God works within little things. But in spite of that disappointment of having to set aside that time and all the preparation that you, many of you, put together, still saying, how can this one day be a great delight and a gift to all those who participate? And we had the beautiful example of lifelong discipleship through children and youth, volunteers in their 20s and volunteers in their 70s, rejoicing in how God uses little things to spread his kingdom. There are things that disappoint us, but we do not need to be discouraged. Knowing that there are numerous other hardships and trials, I think even within our body, we still have an invitation from the Lord to say, rejoice with me in the ways that I am making things new. So whether or not our circumstances are celebratory, or whether our circumstances are tinged with sadness and uncertainty, the joy of the Lord is still our strength, not rooted just in our own private circumstances. For our good shepherd watches over us and seeks us. He makes it known to us the path of life, and in his presence there's fullness of joy. And we heed his call to rejoice with him and invite others into the freedom of repentance and the joy of his presence. My soul rejoices in the Lord. Rejoice with me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.